Okay, I'm recording. Okay, here we go. Okay, so I wanted to thank. Okay, thank you everybody for coming. I wanted to thank the sponsors of tonight's share. Thank you very much to Mr. Toby Bernstein and to Mr. Ezra Wogelenter for sponsoring tonight's share. Lezecha Nishmas Rav Aaron Feldman Zatzal. This is his seventh yard site this week. It should be his neshama should have an aliyah. We all heard and see all the tremendous things that Rav Felder Zatzal has done for this community. Also, I want to shout out a special mazel tov to Toby Bernstein for the upcoming bar mitzvah and the upcoming shalom zachar and bris of two different grandsons. So mazel tov for that.
Thank you. You have to share the bar mitzvah with Michael Bone.
Oh, the bar mitzvah with Michael. Well, mazel tov, Michael, on the bar mitzvah, upcoming bar mitzvah. Gavaldik.
Mazel tov.
We keep it in the community. Keep it in the, okay.
Yeah.
Gavaldik. Okay. Okay, so there's a Gemara in Baba Kama. Tonight's topic is about Adam Hamazik Ba'inis. So that means if someone damages Ba'inis, a person causes a damage, whether it was assault and battery, he hurt someone else, or whether he damaged somebody's property. So we know that there are liabilities for that. We talked about that in the past. The Gemara tells us that Adam HaMazik is chayiv on Nezek. He's chayiv for damages, even Ba'inis. Even if the damage was inadvertent, Oinis literally means due to circumstances beyond his control. The person is liable for damages. So incidentally, when we talk about assault and battery, so we know that there are five different payments that the claimant can sue for. So we know that there's nezek, there's the damage, there's the tsar, there's the pain, there's the sheves, the unemployment, the disability. We have the ripoy, there's paying the doctor bills, and there's also the boishes, there's the humiliation or the embarrassment. So actually, the Gemara tells us that one is only liable ba'inis for the nezek, for the actual damage. And that applies to bodily damage, injury, or it applies to damaging of property. But the other payments, you're not liable unless there was a outright pshia, unless you were negligent. So you need a higher level of liability for that. And we've mentioned this before, that boishes, you're only liable to pay for humiliation or embarrassment if you actually have kavana. So for the purposes of tonight's discussion, we're discussing specifically nezek, whether it's bodily injury or whether we're damaging property. So the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, Minohani Mili. So this is item Aleph on the notes. From where do we know that a person is mu'ed la'olam, that a person is liable for damages, even ba'inis, even if it's circumstances beyond his control? So Omar Chizkiah, Lechein Tana Debei Chizkiah, so Chizkiah taught us, and he also incorporated it into a braisa, Tana Debei Chizkiah, Petza Tachas Potza. So we know that the Pasuk has a whole list, Chabura Tachas Chabura, Ayin Tachas Ayin, Chain Tachas Chain, Chabura, Petza Tachas Petza, Chabura Tachas Chabura, Kviya Tachas Kviya, so a wound for a wound. So we know that the Gemara in Perek HaChayvel, the 8th Perek, tells us that a wound for a wound, an eye for an eye, it doesn't mean literally. It means that you have to pay. It's a monetary compensation. So the Gemara goes through what each of those expressions means. Kviya Tachas Kviya, Petza Tachas Potza. So the Gemara says, Petza Tachas Potza is L'chayev Al HaShoyge Kemezid. It's to teach us that the person is liable for shoygig, if he damages by mistake, as if he damaged deliberately. If a person damages due to circumstances beyond his control, it's as if he damaged willingly, deliberately. And that's how we know that Adam Hamazik is chayiv even ba'oinsin. That's what the Gemara says, and that's how it's passed in Shulchan Aruch. Adam Hamazik is chayiv even ba'oinsin, even for circumstances beyond his control. And again, this is referring to bodily injury, and this is also referring to monetary, to property damage. That if I would inadvertently injure, or if I would inadvertently damage your property, halacha is you're liable for damages, even by us. Now, So the basic objective of tonight's shiur, we're going to bring the sources of that there seems to be exceptions to this rule. We find exceptions where you're not liable ba'inis, and we're going to go through a few examples. Each example is interesting in its own right. And then we're going to bring the sources to drachim, two different mahalchim, two different schools of thought in the Rishonim. And then we'll discuss some of the nafgaminas, some of the differences, and some of the nuances, and get down to a practical case. So now, Tosfos and the other Rishonim, it's all in Baba Kama pretty much, bring a Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi in Baba Kama, in the second parak of Baba Kama in the Yerushalmi, halacha ches. So the Gemara says like this, Adam mu'ad la'olam, a person is a mu'ad, a person is a damager, he's liable no matter what. Ben shoygig ben mezid, whether he damaged inadvertently or whether he damaged deliberately, ben or ben yoshing, whether he's awake or whether he's sleeping. So adam mu'ad la'olam, even if the person is sleeping. So if I'm sleeping and I roll over and I break your object, so I'm liable. Or if two people are sleeping side by side and one person rolls over and pokes the other person in the eye, so he would be liable for injury even while you're sleeping. Why? Because this is an illustration of the halacha, adam mu'ad la'olam, that a person is liable even bainus, even for circumstances beyond his control. You were sleeping, you certainly didn't intentionally try to injure the other person or damage the other person's property, but we have a pasuk, petzatachas patza, that a person is chayiv ben ba'inis ben barat. Now, Omar Rab Yitzchak, so here's the seeming exception. Omar Rab Yitzchak, masnisa, this brisa, bishahayu shneyem yeshenem, when they're both sleeping side by side, aval im haya echad mihem yashin, if one of them was sleeping, obo chavei relishin etzvay, and someone else comes and sleeps next to, lies down next to the first person, ze shebalishin etzvay hu amuad, so then the second person who showed up, who lied down after you were already sleeping there. So when you went to sleep, there was nobody there. Somebody comes and lies down next to you after you were already asleep. Or he put something down next to you after you already were asleep. And then you roll over in your sleep and you damage that object or you injure that person. Then you're exempt. And Yushalmi's Lashin is Hu Hamuad, the second person, the person who came afterwards, it's his fault. Hu amuad, he's the damager, he's the one who's at fault, and therefore the first person who went to sleep first when there was nobody in his vicinity, he would be exempt. So the Rishonim ask, and I'm sure everybody's thinking of a possible answer, the Rishonim ask that the first person should be liable anyway, because other mu'ad la'olam, because I thought the pasuk says that a person is liable for damage even if it was for circumstances beyond his control. So just because I was sleeping there already before, just because I checked my vicinity and there was nobody around, and then someone put something next to me after I already was sleeping, if I roll over and I destroy that object, I should be liable anyway. That's question number one. That's case number one. And the Rishonim debate, why is this an exception to the rule? Why is person number one exempt for breaking something in his sleep if the object or the second person came subsequently? That's case number one. And I'm sure there's everybody's thinking of the obvious answer for that. We'll see this two mahalchim in the Rishonim. Case number two. There's a Gemara in Baba Metzia, and Daf Pei Beis on the base. So Tanu Rabban, it's a brisa. Hamavir chavis l'chaveroi mimakam l'makam. So imagine if you are a shomer. So you're a shomer, you're a custodian, you're a watchman. You're watching, you were entrusted to watch somebody's chavis, somebody's bottle. Somebody's bottle, somebody's chavis, his barrel of wine, his barrel. Imagine you're watching somebody's barrel of wine, you're watching somebody's bottle of wine, and you're being mavir chavis l'chaveri mokom l'mokom. Part of your job, part of your responsibilities, you're carrying the barrel or the bottle from one place to another, and the custodian trips and falls, vishavra, and he breaks the barrel. So you were trying to do your job. You were moving the object for the purpose of your job, for the purpose of the owner. You were moving the barrel from one place to another. Vishavra, and you tripped and fell. So the halacha is, according to Rav Meir, ben shomer chinam, ben shomer sachar yishavah. So the halacha is, whether you're watching the object for free where you're a Shomer Chinam, so you obviously have a lower level of liability, or you're a Shomer Sachar, or even if you're being paid for your services, so then there's a greater responsibility. Says Rav Meir, all you have to do is take an oath. In other words, you're exempt. You're exempt from having broken the barrel. It's not your fault that you tripped and fell and smashed the bottle. You just have to take an oath, like any other Shomer, that it was an oinus. As long as you take an oath, as long as you swear that you never were negligent, or as long as you swear that you were never shaleach bayad, you never misappropriated the bottle, you didn't steal it, you don't have any other hidden liabilities, so the halacha is you'll be exempt. Because according to Rav Meir, tripping and falling in this case is considered an oinus, it's considered beyond your control, so your liability as a shomer, your responsibility as a shomer, does not require you to pay. You can take the oath and exempt. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Shomer Chinam Yeshova, if you're not being paid, if you're a Shomer Chinam, then you have to swear and then you are exempt. Shomer Chinam Yeshova. And the Noisei Sachar Yeshalim, but if you're being paid and you're a Shomer Sachar, then you have to pay. So Rabbi Yehuda's reason is that tripping and falling would fall under the same liability as if it was stolen or lost. So Rav Meir in this case says, tripping is considered an oinus. It's considered beyond your control. See, even though you are being paid as a watchman, but we know that a shomer sachar is not liable for oinsin. If an armed robber comes, or if the object, if the animal dies, something beyond the shomer sachar's control, he's not liable. So tripping and falling is considered beyond your control. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Tripping and falling is not considered an oinus gomer. It's not considered beyond your control. It's considered the same liability as if it was stolen or lost. So we know that a shomer chinam is exempt if something was stolen or lost, as long as he wasn't negligent. So tripping and falling is certainly not negligent. You didn't do it on purpose. You weren't negligent. But it's on the level of having been lost or stolen. So a shomer chinam can take an oath and exempt himself. He's not liable. And the Shomer Sachar, though, because he was being paid, is liable for the level of Geneva Va'aveda, and therefore he is Chayiv, he has to pay. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Shomer Chinam can take an oath and exempt himself, but a Noisei Sachar, a Shomer Sachar, if he was paid, so he has a higher level of liability, he's Chayiv on the equivalency of Geneva Va'aveda, stolen or lost, he has to pay. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Hai Kedine, V'Hai Kedine. That a Shomer Chinam has his set of halachas and a Shomer Sachar has his set of halachas. Now, the obvious question is that this Gemara is all fine and good if you're talking about the liability mitzad, the liability from the perspective of a Shomer. Imagine if it really was stolen or lost. So a Shomer Chinam would be exempt, a Shomer Sachar would be chayiv. Imagine if an oinus occurred, then Rav Meir says even a Shomer Sachar would be exempt. All of this is fine and good if we look at it from the perspective of a shomer. But the obvious question is that in this case, you're the one who broke the object because you were moving the barrel from one place to another and you tripped and fell and you smashed the barrel. So forget about the liability of a shomer. You yourself are a mazik in this case. So what happened to the halacha that Adam moved the island? That if you damage somebody else's property, you're liable, even for circumstances beyond your control. So, for example, Rav Meir. Rav Meir says you're exempt because it's an oinus. So I understand why my responsibility as a shomer, as a guard, as a custodian, doesn't kick in. But after all, I broke the barrel. Well, let's say Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says a shomer chinam is exempt. Because this falls under the category, this is the equivalency of Geneva Va'aveda. Fine. So my responsibility as a shomer does not kick in. But what about the fact that I simply broke the barrel? Tape of lay that I'm an Adam Hamazik. So normally, if it's stolen, you are not the one who was Mazik. We have to we have to assess mitzad is a shomer chinam chayv. But in this case, you're the one who broke the barrel. So here's another exception to the rule. What happened to Adam Hamazik? What happened to Adam Muloil? That's case number two. So we have the Yushalmi, rolling over in your sleep if the object was placed there subsequently. And then we have the Gemara in Bava Metzia that a Shomer Chinam is exempt for breaking the barrel even though he's the one who broke the barrel. That's case number two. Case number three, so this is item Dalet. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama, a fascinating case. Omar Rava. So Rava says, so imagine if a man borrowed a cow. He was using the cow to plow whatever it was, an ox. He was working with the cow. And the father who borrowed the cow died. So he has in his possession, he has in his estate, a cow. So the halacha is mishtamshin ba kol yimei she'elasa. So the halacha is that the orphans are allowed to continue the contract of the father. If the orphans are aware of the fact that it was a borrowed cow, they realize that this doesn't belong to their father, but the father has a contract. The father already has the rights to use the cow, to borrow the cow for 30 days. So the orphans are allowed to continue borrowing the cow until the contract is due, because they inherit the schus of the father. The Gemara says, Mesa ain hayavin gavin tseha. So this is an interesting Gemara. If the cow dies, even though a shoyel is liable even for oitzim, a shoyel, if you borrow something where it's kol hanash shaloi, where you're getting all the benefit, you're not even paying for the object, you're getting the free use of the object. So the halacha is that the shoyel is liable even for an oitzim. However, these children, these orphans, they're never the ones who accepted upon themselves the responsibility. So they're not chayiv in oitzim. So just, it's not our topic for tonight, but the Rishonim debate, does this mean that they have like a win-win, that they can use the object and still not be liable if the animal dies? Or does this just mean that if they choose to use the animal and activate the she'ela, then they will be chayiv in oitzim? It just means that if they choose not to use the animal, then they would be exempt in oitzim. So that's a question in the Rishonim. What's relevant to our discussion tonight is the seifa of this halacha. The Gemara says, "Kisvurim shalavihem hi." What if the orphans, they didn't know that this was a borrowed cow? How are they supposed to know? The father passed away, and the father has a cow in the barn, and for all intents and purposes, they're under the assumption that this belongs to their father. So what do they do? Tavchua. So they decide to shecht the cow, va'achluha, and they ate the meat. So clearly they shechted somebody else's cow, thinking that it was their own cow. So the halacha is mishalmin d'mei basar bezul. Basar bezul means that because we thought it was ours, we're exempt from damages. Imagine if the cow was worth $1,000 or $2,000, $2,500. So you shechted the cow. So technically you should have to reimburse the owner of the cow $2,500. But because you didn't know that it was somebody else's, we thought that we inherited the cow. So the halacha is we're exempt from paying for damages. We only have to pay basar bezul. Basar bezul, the Gemara in Baba Kama says, is a fraction of the value of the cow. It's just the hana. It's just the fact that you had something to eat, the fact that you didn't have to use your own food, the fact that you got to eat something else for free. That's hana. You're just paying for the actual benefit that you derived, that you realized. You don't have to pay for your own supper that night, but it's a fraction of what the cow is worth because you're putter for nezikin. So again, the obvious question is, in item hey, the Rishonim asked the question, why is it that we're exempt in all of these examples? If a person is chayim even ba'inis, so he should be liable. So again, he should be liable in the first case, in Yerushalmi's case. If I go to sleep and then you put something next to me and I roll over and break it, so I should be liable because other mu'ud ha'olam. The second case, if I'm a shoimer and I'm watching your barrel, I'm watching your object, and I'm carrying the object from one place to another, and I trip and fall and break the object, so it's true that my liability as a shoimer might not obligate me to pay, but what about the fact that I simply damaged the object? Even if I would not have been a shoimer, I should have to pay anyway because I damaged the object. And what about the halacha other mu'ud ha'olam? And third case, the case in Baba Kama, orphans inherited something thinking it was theirs. They went ahead and shechted it, and the halacha is that they're exempt. They only have to pay for any hana that they benefited, which is a fraction of the value of the cow, but they're exempt for the paying of the cow. Why is that? Isn't it Adam Wul Oilam? We damaged your cow. Incidentally, I was speaking to my second son, Nasir Nata. So I speak to him periodically in Eretz Israel. So it's not related to the shir. He asked me a question. There was somebody, we know that a shul or a base medrash, they sometimes put out boxes of tissues for the oilam to use. In a shul, you go to a shul, on the table there's a box of tissues. So believe it or not, there was someone there who put out a box of tissues. It was an identical box that the shul usually supplies for the congregants. but it was his personal box of tissues that he inadvertently left on the table. And when he came back, all the tissues were used up. So everybody else is tying. Well, we thought that it belonged to the shul. We thought that we had the rights to use the tissues. And there were other boxes of tissue that really did belong to the shul on the other tables. And the owner of the box of tissue says, well, this was my private box of tissue. I didn't give permission. And even though you made a mistake, it was an honest mistake, but other more the ilam. So I said to my son that seemingly this is an identical case with this case of Baba Kama, that we're going to learn what the rationale is, but regardless of what the rationale is, if the orphans inherit a cow thinking that it's their cow, they had no way of knowing that it wasn't their father's cow. They thought that it was their, they had no way of knowing that their father had borrowed this cow. They honestly thought it was theirs. They thought they had the rights to it, and they shechted it. The Gemara clearly exempts the orphans. So I would say that if a person puts a box of tissues on the table and it's and everybody else clearly had the right to assume that it was a public box of tissues, I think it's the identical case to the case of the Yorshim being under the misunderstanding that this is their own cow, and it turns out they didn't have the rights to the cow. That's the identical case of people being under the misunderstanding that this is theirs, they have the rights to use it, so seemingly they would be putter for paying back the few cents for the box of tissues that they use. But the question is, what's the why? Why is it that in these three cases we're exempt, even though Adam is mu'adayl? So there are two basic mahalchim in the Rishayim. We have the shita of Taisvis and the shita of the Rush. They both hold the same thing. And this is actually how the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch paskins. So let's learn the Rush together. So I quoted this from the Rush. This is item Vav. So says the Rush, Afo gav the Adam mu'adayla, even though a person is liable even for circumstances beyond his control, without a negligence. So says Taisvis and the Rush, Ba'oimis gadol kazeh, if it's an extreme oinus, if it's something that's really beyond your control. So we always were using the expression of an oinus, which means for circumstances beyond your control. But the Taisvis and the Rush, they severely limit the scope of this halacha. They say, they scale it down. You're not liable if it's something that's really beyond your control. An oinus gadol kazeh, pater adam, a person's pater. So the Rush goes through all the cases. Shnayim hayishenim b'mita, if two people are sleeping side by side in a bed. Pater hayishalmi harishin b'nezek hasheni. So if the second person came after the first person was already asleep, so that's why the first person is exempt, because this is an oinus gomer. This is totally an oinus. There's no level, we can't hold the first person responsible at all, because this is totally an oinus gomer. And then he goes through another example, the example that we brought from the Gemara in Subis. The Gemara says in a Geisel Basra and in Perik Ilanayus, that's the Gemara in Subis, if orphans inherit a cow thinking that it's theirs, but in reality it was borrowed, v'tavchua mishalmim d'mei baser b'zul, they only have to pay a fraction of the value, the hainu l'fi hanasan, that's just the benefit they derive, but overall they're exempt for the damage. Abu d'mei baser kula loy, but they don't have to pay the entire value of the cow. Why not? Isn't it adam amazik? So says the Taisus and the Rush, mishum da anusim havu, because they're totally anusim, because they have no way of knowing that it doesn't belong to their father. Klala de milsa, here's the general rule. Adam hamazik ba'oinis. So it's very unclear in the Taisus and the Rush, and it might be hard for us to anticipate what's considered a total oinis and what's considered a low-grade oinis. What's considered a low-grade oinis and what's considered a high-grade oinis. So the Rush gives us the klal, but it still might not be, it might not be readily apparent how to categorize an individual case. Says the Tosfos that we know a Shomer Sachar is chayiv on Gneva and Aveda. The Gemara says that Gneva is karav l'oinus. If you're watching something and you lock it up at home and it ends up getting stolen anyway, that's karav l'oinus. Although a Shomer Sachar, although a paid watchman is liable, but that's borderlining on an oinus. But Aveda, if you lose the object, so if you're entrusted to watch an envelope, and you put it in your jacket pocket, you get home and it's not in your jacket pocket, it's lost, it slipped out of your pocket, it was lost, that it wasn't intentional, there wasn't the negligence, but it's karev lepshia, it's borderlining on pshia. So we can intuitively sense that gneva is karev l'oinus. If something is stolen, it's karev l'oinus. If something is lost, it's karev lepshia. So says the Tosfos and the Rush, when we say that Adam is chayiv even for an oinus, we mean the oinus on the level of aveda, when it's karav lepshia. It's borderlining on pshia. So it's not literally a pshia. If you would be a shomer chinam and the equivalent hefsit happened, you're exempt. We know that a shomer chinam is exempt for aveda. If it gets lost, he's exempt. But it's karav lepshia. It's almost a negligence. It's just one step above negligence. He wasn't negligent, but it's almost like he was negligent. So therefore, a shomer chinam is still exempt, a shomer sachar is chayiv. That's when Adam is muad la'oil. That's when the person is liable. So even though if my animal goes off and damages, I would be exempt if it was on the level of aveda. For example, I put up a fence. As long as the fence can withstand the common wind, if the animal manages to get out and go out and damage, I'm exempt. Because mamon hamazik, if my property damages, if my animal goes out and damage, I'm only liable on the level of a shomer chinam. Adam hamazik, if I damage personally with my body, so then I'm liable even above and beyond the shomer chinam, but not as much as a shomer sachar. I'm only liable on the level of aveda. So says the Rush, imagine if I go up on my roof, and that's what I was saying before, it might not be readily apparent to us, but the Gemara gives us cases. If I go up on a roof, and I'm working on my roof, and my roof does not have a mica. We discussed mica in the past. You're really supposed to build a fence around your roof. But if I'm working on top of my roof, and all of a sudden an uncommon wind comes and blows me off the roof, so a ruach she'enu mitzuya, believe it or not, I'm liable for that. If I fall off my roof and crash onto your car, and I dent your car, I smash the roof of your car in, so then the halacha would be, I would be liable for that. Because going up on top of a roof, you have to be prepared. You're exposed. You're high up. You have to realize that you might slip off the roof. So therefore, that's where Adam Hamazik is chayiv, because you're liable for that. You should have realized that you're vulnerable when you climb up on the roof. That's Adam Hamazik. But if a person trips and falls, so tripping and falling is on the level of geneva. Nobody wants to trip and fall. Everybody who's walking is trying to be careful. If the person loses his balance and trips and falls, that's on the level of geneva. That's something that's karav la'inus. Adam hamazik is pater once it's karav la'inus. That's what the Tosfos and the Rush, that's how they shtel it back. That's how they create the guidelines. So if we go back now to all the cases are resolved very easily. If you and I are lying down together, going to sleep. So we know that it's very possible that one person will roll over and injure the other person. That, it wasn't deliberate, but it's karav lepshia. It would be equivalent to an aveda. So that's why if I roll over and break your object, I'm liable. I shouldn't have gone to sleep in the first place next to your object. So I wasn't negligent. It doesn't always happen. However, if I end up breaking your object, I'm liable. However, if you put something down next to me after I was already asleep, that's already like a geneva. That's already karav la'inus, so then I'm exempt. And the Tosfos says the same thing applies. The Tosfos and the Rush say the same thing applies to maver chavis l'chaveri. If I'm watching your object and I'm carrying your barrel from one place to another and I trip, and let's assume that tripping is on the level of geneva, it's as if it was stolen, it's the level of liability of geneva, so now it fits perfectly into the Gemara. We have to judge this case from two perspectives. We have to judge the case mitzad, that I'm a watchman, and a watchman has a certain level of liability. And we also have to judge the case from the perspective that I myself damaged your barrel. So says Tosfos, tripping and falling is the level of geneva. So as far as Adam Hamazik is concerned, the fact that I myself broke your barrel, I'm exempt. Because nobody wants to trip and fall. That's on the level of geneva, so I'm exempt. However, let's examine the case from the perspective of a shomer. So a shomer chinam is also patur on geneva naveda. But a shomer sachar, if I'm being paid, that's already chayev for geneva naveda, and therefore I will be liable for that. That's Tosfos' shita. Now the Ramban argues. The Ramban argues with Tosfos, and the Ramban has a fascinating opinion. He explains all of these exceptions differently. And this is probably what we were thinking before. The Ramban argues, and he goes through the cases one after the other. So case number one, the Yushalmi's case, where if I was sleeping and someone put something next to me after I was already sleeping. So the Ramban says you can't compare that case at all. And if we look carefully at the words of the Yushalmi, that was the at the end of item Beis, the Yushalmi says, Hu Hamur, that the one who put the object there second, he's the one who's at fault. Because I was already sleeping. How am I supposed to know there was something next to me? So if you put something next to me after I was already sleeping, the reason why I'm exempt is not because of an oinus. The reason why I'm exempt is because it's more your fault than it's my fault. So therefore, you have to assume the onus. You assume you have to assume the blame for the object getting damaged. That's the case of the Yushalmi. Now, the Ramban has a fascinating halacha. When, imagine if a shoychet is shechting your animal. You give your animal to a shoychet, he shechts your animal. He's doing it for free. And instead of shechting it, his hand slips and he botches the shechita and the animal is an avela. So the halacha is that he's exempt. Why? Didn't he damage the animal? So says the Ramban, if a person is a shomer, if the person has the right to be working with your object. You authorized me to work with your object. And I'm working with your object for you. I'm doing it for you. So the halacha is that there's a special exemption. I'm oisib brishus. I had permission to be doing what I was doing, and I botched. I made a mistake. So the halacha is that an oisib brishus is not categorized as a mazik. You can't consider me a mazik. You can't consider me as a damager, because I wasn't coming to damage the object. I was coming to do something beneficial for you. You asked me to shech the animal. Or let's say the case of carrying the barrel from one place to another. You entrusted me with the object, and I'm a shomer. I was moving the object from one place to the other to fulfill my responsibilities as a shomer. And then I tripped. So even though I should be liable, according to the Ramban, because other mu'ad la'olam, I tripped and broke your object, and I'm chayiv no matter what, but because I had permission to be carrying your barrel, you can't categorize me as a mazik. I'm not a damager. Well, I was trying to do something positive. I wasn't doing something negative. I was doing something positive. I'm a shomer. If a person is oiser brishus, if I'm working with your object with permission, the halacha is that I'm not a mazik. That's mafkia. That removes the status of being called a mazik. And instead, I was oiser brishus. It's an exemption. It's automatically exempted. The only time Adam a mazik is chayiv ba'oinis is if you're a mazik, if you're a damager. But if you're not categorized, if you don't have the status of a mazik, because you were oisib rishus, you had permission to be doing what you were doing, therefore you're exempt. We only have to analyze it from the perspective of a shomer, because after all, a shomer himself carries certain responsibilities. So to that, Rabbi Yehuda says a shomer chinam is exempt, and a shomer sachar has to pay. But as far as Adam Hamazik is concerned, I'm exempt because I was oisa brishus. So we have two opinions, and these are the two drachim in the Rishonim. We have Tosfos. Tosfos' opinion is that it depends on the level of the oinus, and tripping and falling is considered karev la'oinus, and therefore I'm exempt. The Ramban says no. Tripping and falling is a liability. You would be chayav for that. Why am I exempt if I'm carrying your bottle and I trip and fall? Because I had permission to be carrying your bottle. I was doing it for you. I was a shomer for you. I was oiser brishus. Since I'm oiser brishus, therefore I'm exempt. The Mefarshim explained the same thing applies to the orphans that inherited the cow. It wasn't their cow at all, and they had no right to shecht it. But because they had the right to assume that it was their cow, because there's a halacha, anything in a person's possession, we have the right to assume it's his until proven otherwise. So we had the right to assume that this cow belonged to us. We found it among our father's possessions. The halacha is that we're oisib rishus. We had rishus to be shechting that cow, and therefore we're not considered a mazik. The only time you're considered a mazik is if you don't have a permission to be dealing with somebody else's object. Who asked you to touch the other person's object? But if you have the rights based on the Torah to be dealing with the other person's object, either because he authorized you to carry the object around, or because you halachically had the right to assume that it was yours, that removes the status of being referred to as a mazik. That's mafkia, the shame mazik. That's the Ramban's opinion. Now, there's a very practical difference right away that emerges from this. Imagine if you're walking down the street and you trip and you fall onto somebody's object. Imagine if you're walking down the street and you trip and fall and you bang into your friend and you injure your friend. Are you liable for that or not? A person's on a skating rink and he trips. He falls and he falls and bangs into somebody else. Is he liable for that or not? So there's a very clear difference. Tosfos says that the example of carrying your friend's barrel from place to place, the reason if you trip and fall, you're exempt, is because it's an oynes gomer, because it's on the level of geneva. It's karav la'oynes, so you're exempt. The Ramban says no. The reason why if I'm carrying your barrel from place to place, I'm exempt, is not because it's an oynes. I should be liable for oynes. The reason why I'm exempt is because I was oysid brishus, because I had permission to carry the barrel from one place to another. So the obvious difference is, if I trip and fall on your barrel, when I'm not a shomer for your barrel, or if I'm tripping and falling and fall onto you, when I don't have any reason to fall onto you. So according to Tosfos, I'm exempt. Because according to Tosfos, tripping and falling is karav la'oynes. And Tosfos cites the example of the shomer carrying the barrel as the example for that, that tripping and falling is an oynes. But the Ramban says that case is different because you had rishus. But if you just trip and fall and break somebody's object where you were not authorized to deal with that object, you would be liable. So this is a very clear difference that emerges right away from the cases in question between Tosfos and the Ramban based on how to understand these questions. Now, in item tests on the next page, so in order to explain the machlokes between the Tosfos and the Ramban, so this would seemingly be the obvious interpretation. The obvious interpretation is Tosfos holds that other mu'ud la'olam, this is item test on the page, so other mu'ud la'olam simply means that the Torah raised the standard of responsibility. So normally for your animal, you're only liable at a certain level of responsibility. When it comes to your own personal damages, if you're going to damage with your own two hands, the Torah raises the level of responsibility. It's as if the Torah says, for your own animal, it's like you're a shomer chinam. You're only liable to watch your animal the way people watch their animals. Nobody locks up their animal with chains. You only have to close the fence. If the animal manages to get out, you're exempt, because the Torah only put a certain level of responsibility. When it comes to my own person, I have a higher level of responsibility. So according to Tosfos, if I fulfilled that responsibility, then I'm exempt even for damage that I cause with my person. However, according to the Ramban holds that the reason why you're chayiv for Adam Hamazik is not because you were negligent in your level of responsibility. It's because intrinsically, if you damage something with your body, you're automatically chayiv, period. According to Tosfos, the reason why you're chayiv is because to a certain extent, there was a negligence in the heightened responsibility. You're like a shomer sachar. The Torah puts a higher level of responsibility. But if you fulfilled that responsibility, you're exempt. According to the Ramban, it's not about responsibility. According to the Ramban, it's just a gzeiras hakasuf that if you damage with your body, then you're chayiv. Even if it's an oynes, the halacha is that you're chayiv. The only time you're exempt is if it's the other person's fault or if you're not a mazik. Categorically, you're not a mazik because you were oysed brishus. But as long as you are a mazik, you're going to be chayiv ba'oynes. That's the Ramban. Like we mentioned before, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Ramban, that Adam Hamazik is chayiv ba'oynes. The Ramah paskins like the Tosfos, that the Adam Hamazik is only chayiv if it's karev lepshia on the level of Aveda. Now, the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says in Perek Vav Halacha Aleph in Hilchas Chayiv Lomazik, Hamazik Mamen Chaveray chayiv l'shalim. If a person damages Mamen Chaveri, his friend's property, Chayim L'Shalim, you have to pay Nezik Shalom, full damages. Ben Shahaya Shogig, Ben Shahaya Anus, whether it was by accident, whether it was out of your control, Harehu Kameizit. It's as if you damaged on purpose. That's what the Rambam says. Ketzad, how so? Says the Rambam, Nofel Min Hagak, if a person falls off a roof, Vishavar Es HaKelim and breaks the Kelim below, Ayishin Niska, or he trips. If a person trips and falls on someone else's utensil and breaks it, chayiv nezik shalim his chayiv shenemar, as the pasuk says, Umaka behemi shalmena, velechola kakasa ben shogig le mesa. Okay. Now, the Magid Mishnah points out. Yeah, hello, I see we lost the connection. It says here that the connection with the GoTo meeting is broken. Is it inside your computer? Should I try to reconnect? Okay. Yeah, hi. So the Kollel office, I think, lost the internet connection. All right. So I guess we have to stop. It's too late. Okay, so now I need the numbers because I can't get 312-757-3129. Sure.